All right, I'm going to invite my wife Melanie to come on up, and we're going to share together this morning, which will be a wild ride for all parties involved. Right on.
Wait a second. Genuine question. I'm going to put my hand up for this too. When you heard I was coming up, how many of you are like, what is she going to say this morning? Because I put my hand up because you never know.
It's true. It's true. Every day is an adventure in the Bott household. So we're starting a new series called Breakthrough. And we've got this beautiful graphic here of, you know, light overtaking darkness. And there's this concept behind Breakthrough where we, over the next couple weeks, we want to hear different stories from different people and how God has been working powerfully in their life. And so we're doing kind of a mini sermon slash sharing our story today, but in the following weeks, you're going to hear stories, some 5-minute stories, some 10-minute stories from different people in our church who God is leading them through breakthrough, has brought them through breakthrough, something along those lines. Now, when I put this idea out to the staff, Pastor Kaylee asked me, she said, hey, what do you have in mind for a graphic? And I said, well, I don't know, like something like a dinosaur, like breaking through a brick wall with like laser eyes. And there it is, right there.
And I turned 35 this week, but I'm a child inside. So I really relate to this. And I'm sure many of the kids do too. Like, who doesn't want to be a dinosaur taking that little tiny arm and kicking through a brick wall? I think it's great.
Yeah.
Go Pastor Kaylee.
That's right. And when we talk about breakthrough, the idea is like when life is just slamming you and it just seems like you can't get a break. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And you're just in this position of like, God, like, where are you? Like, what is going on here? Like, I've been waiting, I've been praying, I've been leaning in, I've been doing all of the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm waiting for you to come through, and you haven't come through yet. And I know that a lot of people in our church are waiting on breakthrough. And so that's why we decided to start this series at just such a pastorally timely moment. And we wanted to introduce the series with a psalm that we felt like fit the theme perfectly. So Melanie's going to read Psalm 34 to all of us. It's pretty long, so we don't have the lyrics up on the screen. So you can listen or follow along on your phone or your Bible if you've got one.
I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Ooh. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
You know, what makes this psalm even more powerful is the occasion and the setting in which it was written. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think it was like written in a vacuum, but it was written in the real events of life. And actually, if you look in, if you have your Bible with you, you'll see there's like a little asterisk or something like that. It says, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. That's the context of the psalm. So David was told that he was anointed to be king after Saul. And Saul wanted to kill David. And so David is fleeing and running for his life. And he takes refuge in this neighboring kingdom. And in order so that he doesn't get killed by this king, he acts like a madman. He's like foaming at the mouth and like scratching on the walls and all of these kinds of things just so he isn't killed. This is the context that this psalm is written out of. Real life situation where he was up against it. And there's two invitations in this psalm. The first invitation comes in verse 3. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear testimonies. You're going to hear stories of God's faithfulness and God's goodness and God's mercy in real people's lives. And when we talk about breakthrough, it's important to understand that there's three different sides to breakthrough, okay? Think of it like a triangle. And there's three different ways where we could be looking for breakthrough in our life. So Mel, why don't you start out?
The first one we were discussing was in the waiting. And that is probably people's least favorite one. Because I'm sure you guys have picked up a phone call to call maybe the CRA and they have the most horrible music ever and you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting for news from a doctor. That could be waiting on good news or bad news. You don't know. Maybe you're waiting on the arrival of a baby. That's so exciting. But waiting, you don't know what to expect. So that's why we discussed that one. And the second one we discussed is in the victory. And this whole book is a testament of God's victory through many people. That's the whole book. So we know that in the waiting, this is going to come. Because we are God's chosen people, and it's going to happen.
And the last one, I think the one that we don't really talk about a lot, especially in our self-absorbed culture, we love the idea of breakthrough in our own lives, but there, you're also going to hear stories about what we're calling breakthrough in the helping. And this is where you can come along someone else who's going through it and be part of their breakthrough. Be part of the answer to their prayers. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're like, you know what, Joe, my life is great right now. I'm not really feeling a lot of struggles. First of all, come and talk to me because I want to take some notes down. But you're like, you know what, life is good right now. I feel like I'm not waiting on breakthrough for anything. Then my word to you is to look for breakthrough in the helping. Who can you come alongside and help? Let these testimonies inspire faith in you so you can come alongside others. I want to pull your attention to verse 6 in this psalm. It says, in my desperation, I prayed. Hang on, I want to pause there for a second. In my desperation, I prayed. That's usually what it takes, right? Desperation. In my desperation, I prayed. But prayer should always be our first response. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. And verse 7, it says, For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. We just finished a series where we talked about how things are not as they seem. There are spiritual realities that are going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, that we can't see. And so I want to talk about how prayer is a first response. And when you're in the waiting, when you're waiting for God to break through, psalms and songs become our prayers. Psalms and songs become our prayers. I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are really tough, I don't really have the words to say, but there's that song that's like burning a hole in your Spotify playlist or on your CD if you still kick it old school. right? And it's just, that is your prayer, and you play it over and over and over again. Actually, we had a song that we wanted to introduce, so how about you talk about that for a second?
By the way, when I said I wanted to include this song, I told Joe this whole side was going to be like, yes. So just so you know. There is an artist out right now, which I'm loving, and the enthusiasm is great. And we went to their concert this summer. Can I do a little side note with the concert? So we had, like, the worst seats ever. It was awful. Like, you literally couldn't see anything. And we were just standing there. We're like, you know what? Let's just pray for someone to give us better seats. Like, the worst that can happen is we don't get better seats. Like, whoop-de-doo. And then one of the people from, like, the concert who was helping with something came up to us. He's like, hey, do you want these tickets? They were right on the floor, right. It was amazing. And honestly, don't underestimate the little prayers and how God answers them, because part of what we're going to talk about here, maybe later if we have time, is our son has had a really hard time with church from, like, the get-go. Like, daddy leaving to go to work, we use Sundays, we say church. The rest of the week, we say daddy's going to work, so he doesn't get a bad view of the church sometimes. And this answer to prayer really helped get him excited, because there's nothing like a really awesome, like, concert that's all filled with people believing in Jesus to, like, just spike your faith a little bit. So we're going to play a little bit of a song he just released this week and then keep going.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Yeah, but that's when I need it the most. So I'm gonna keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely, times that it calls. There's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I got. I'll bring my heart, heartfelt bid to hell, hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm-tossed self story to tell, hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. Faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I'll bring my heart, heartfelt. It is well, hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes those hallelujahs are a battle to get out. So that song's called Hard Fought Hallelujah by Brandon Lake, if you want to listen to that later. The second encouragement that we're given in this psalm, the second invitation, is to come and listen. In verse 11, he says, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. And it's just this beautiful call. You know, if I were you, I would put the word learn in there. Come, my children, and learn. Learn from me. Learn, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. And sometimes what we need to experience breakthrough in our own life is to hear the story of someone else. Because we learn from stories. We don't need bullet points. Sometimes the free-flowing experiences and thoughts of other people is what we need. I do want to highlight something, though. In verse 14, he says, turn away from evil and do good, search for peace and work to maintain it. And my point here is that sometimes we are part of the problem. Sometimes the reason that we need breakthrough is because of our own poor decision-making abilities. Maybe it's our own sin or our own selfishness or our own greed or whatever it is. But God is not unfaithful to us. In the book of Timothy, There's this beautiful verse that says that even if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And so if you need breakthrough, it's a good time for some introspection. That's all I'm going to say there. And David's comments here come out of his refusal to harm Saul. During this process, during this story, there were three different times where either David himself or his men had an opportunity to kill Saul, to kill the person who was going to kill him. And David at every single time said, I will not kill the Lord's anointed. And so he allowed his integrity to speak even in the valley.
Verse 17 to 20, it talks about the brokenhearted. And here it says, he hears people, he's close, and he rescues. But I don't want to diminish the brokenhearted at all. Neither does Jesus. There's a lot of stories in this room, and a lot of them we know and a lot of them we don't know. First of all, I'm sorry if you're going through something. It's hard. And we're going to talk about our struggle, so we're not going to diminish how hard things are. We're human beings that are going to go through something, and if we haven't already, we probably will. But I want us to know that Jesus is close. He promises that.
Yeah. There's this beautiful promise, actually. It's a prophetic foreshadowing in verse 20, and some of you might have picked up on this already. It says, "For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken." If you read the stories of Jesus' crucifixion in the Gospels, and I can't remember which Gospel it is exactly, probably Matthew, it quotes that verse. Jesus' bones weren't broken, the truly righteous one. And so what this is a promise that through Jesus' righteousness, through his righteous life, through his righteous death, and through his resurrection, that we have the victory. We sang that song this morning, I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. Friends, the reality is that Jesus wins, and those who love him till the end win with him. And so there is a promise, even in this verse, hundreds of years before Jesus, that we win. So we want to take a little bit of time to talk about our story. So I guess I'll start if you want. So we came here about 5 years ago, 5 years in April. We've been in Ladysmith, and you know, it's a story for another time about how clearly God opened doors for us to come and be here in Ladysmith. And we came with the call to revitalize the church, to bring some life back, and to see, you know, some growth and in people's lives and numerically as well. And then COVID hit, like almost as soon as we got here. And so a lot of this...
Less than a year.
Less than a year. And so you have to realize as we share our story that COVID is going on as this like underlying angst in the back of all of this.
So. Which I did some training this week where I'm working, and COVID is actually a trauma now. It's considered a trauma in a list of traumas if you look it up. So... You have all been through trauma, guys, including us. So don't underestimate what that did to you, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I going to my...
I can do this if you want. Okay. It's okay.
I can start.
Okay, go for it.
So amidst all this, we bought our first house. Very,
Yay.
Very exciting. Seriously, it was really exciting. That's a big deal. And that was great. And you know when... The beginning of COVID, if you had like an exposure, you had to stay inside and away from people for 2 weeks. So I went through that during Easter. And so I had to be inside my house for 2 weeks, and that sucked like quite a bit. And then I got a knock on the door one day, and it was during the week while I was supposed to be away from people. Like Joe wasn't even like coming into the room at all. And it was a police officer at the door, which was like, weird, I don't normally interact with the police officers. And he was like, hey, do you have a minute? Which, then I can be like awkward and just say dumb things. And I'm like, yeah, but I was like in this like, I'm not supposed to go near you, but you're a police officer, so I need to follow your rules. But I'm also like, what do I do here? So I just like, here's what's going on. What do I do? He's like, oh, it's fine. So I had to go sit in his car. And fun times, right? Your pastor's wife in a cop car. Fun times. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm laughing because it's going to make me feel better about this next part. And he was like, I need to show you something, and I need you to, if you can, identify it. Got to watch what I say here.
You want me to choose the words for you?
I'm good.
Okay.
And what he showed me, you know, like the Polaroid cameras that they have? It was a Polaroid camera or a picture of here down of a criminal photo of a child. He's like, do you know who this is? Thankfully, there was a jacket beside it, so I knew it wasn't my child. Thank the Lord. But what I did know is, hold on a second, I ran into my house, and we had a picture on the fridge of our kids, and it was of the same camera, I think. And I don't know if the end of that story. Kind of glad I don't in a way as well. But I have that logged into my memory for life. Mm-hmm. I never want to see that ever again. But that put me in a really dark spot, because that is never something you want to think about, nor is it something you want to fear. But I lived in fear. Every time our kids went outside, we were living in a complex, so normally they just went out freely to play. I couldn't do that anymore. I would literally stand there like a crazy person at our door, because I had to watch what my kids were doing to make sure they were safe. The mama bear in me just came about.
And so after this after Mel had her conversation, she came home. I mean, I came home from work, and we talked, and we said, it's it. We're moving. Like, we're going to make a way. It's going to happen. I don't know how, but we're getting out of here. And so we were able to sell, list our home and sell it for a ludicrous amount of money because it was during COVID. And then we were able to get into a home for a ludicrous amount of money because it was during COVID. And so that was God's answer in our to our prayers and breakthrough so our kids could be safe and that they could go outside and play and run around and be children. And so that was a huge answer to prayer that quickly became a stressor on our life. You know, I remember the first night actually in that home, I was laying in bed and this whole thing wasn't on my mind at that moment. And it was kind of like this moment where it's like, whoa, I've got the American dream. I've got a wife, I've got two kids, I've got a dog, and I've got a home. And I laid in bed and I was like, I don't feel any happier. And in fact, as the interest rates continued to rise and as the economy continued to get worse, that house, even though it was God's answer to our breakthrough, in one section, quickly became a great deal of anxiety and stress in our lives. And so this was slowly building. Mm-hmm. And then Mel has another thing that was going on in her life.
And then I was going through major burnout at work. I'm not going to minimize counseling because I'm actually going to encourage it to everyone. Go to counseling. Like, let's normalize that. It's a beautiful thing, and I went to counseling with a beautiful Christian lady at the time, and she was like, Mel, you need to get out where you are. She's like, it is not a good place for you.
Talking about your job.
Talking about my job at this point. And she was like, you need to go somewhere where you can come and go freely and just be you. And she mentioned a coffee shop, so I was like, okay, let's do it. Did that help us in that moment where we were with what he was just talking about? Absolutely not. But It put me in a place where I could dig myself out of depression, dig myself out of burnout, and just be me again, because I wasn't. Even bringing myself into here a lot of times during that was hard. I would come right at the start of church. I would sit in the back. Not that I didn't support my husband, I did, but it was hard. I just couldn't people at this point.
Yeah. And I remember, and I encouraged Mel to quit her job as well, but I remember we had a very serious conversation, and I said, I just want you to realize that this is like the nail in the coffin of this house. I think that you should quit your job, but this house is not worth you going through all of this. And so that began the process of us downsizing. You get first, and then I'll have some thoughts.
The thing with doing something unconventional, because what my decision was very unconventional. It didn't make sense to the world. People wonder. They were like, seeing me in there, they knew I had good education. And the first thing that happened when I went and worked at Starbucks was there was this young girl that was working there, left high school, she was pregnant. And she came up to me during one of our shifts. She's like, I have so many questions, but people just aren't giving me the right answers, or they're just like just not saying it. She's like, can I just ask my on-filter questions about pregnancy, and can you just tell me? And in that moment, I was like, God, you're going to use me here. And yes, I am going to be this person for this teenage girl because she needs someone. And God is going to use your unconventional moments for good. Mm-hmm. He really is.
Yeah.
And don't diminish that, honestly, because what if she didn't have me there? Who else would she have turned to? I can tell you there was no other Christians in that workplace at that moment, but at least I could bring light to her and be like, yeah, this happens during pregnancy, and it's not all like sunshine sometimes, but you know what? You get to love this child, and you get to bring them up, and you get to change the way that they view the world. We can be those people. So the unconventional moments can be turned around for good. Mm-hmm. Just want to remind you of that.
That's good. I love that. All right, now I'm going to share a little bit about myself that I'm a little uncomfortable to do. This is the part where you learn that your pastor is a human. This was very hard for me. This, and a lot of men will know what I'm talking about, this was like an absolute kick to my pride, making the decision to downsize. And even still, I'm like, you know what, I probably could have done things differently. I probably made some stupid choices, right? We talk about how sometimes the need for breakthrough comes out of our own irresponsibility, right? But at the end of the day, I had to come to terms with this. And it took me a really long time to come to terms with this. I kept praying and asking God for breakthrough. And I remember I would read, in Matthew 6, where it's talked about, don't worry, God will provide. Don't worry, God will provide, right? That's Jesus' words to us in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. And I'm praying and I'm believing through that. And I've got this song on repeat in my headphones going on. And actually, funny story, the worship team doesn't know this, but I'm going to pick on them a little bit. I brought it to the worship team, and I was like, hey, this is a great song. We should do it on Sundays. And they were like, oh, yeah, maybe. Not really. No, we don't really like it. But anyways, the song is Good Plans by Red Rocks Worship. And the part that got me every time was in the bridge. It says, your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, because I'll be dwelling in the house of God. And it was just one of those songs that really rooted me in the belief that God had good plans for us. But I also want to let you know that sometimes listening to Christian worship music made me really angry. There's a song I have a love-hate relationship with. It's by Sanctus Real, and it's called My God Is Still the Same. If you listen to Praise 106.5, shout out, you'll be very familiar with these words when I read it. When did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. And I remember driving in the car, listening to this song, and I was like, it sure doesn't feel like it. It sure feels like his kindness has changed. It sure does feel like he has failed me. And even as I finally like went through the process of anger and denial and acceptance and all those things of moving it and downsizing, I was like, how is, on earth is downsizing like the answer of provision? You know, to me, that's not what I look for when I'm thinking of provision. I'm thinking of what's the next bigger and better thing. But it was a time in my life where God was working on me to expose that as much as it's easy for me to get up here and preach against the American gospel, that the American gospel had taken a root in my heart. And I had to realize that my identity as a man was not based on what I had or what I could provide. And so God did provide. And in fact, we want to share a little bit about our victory of where we're living now.
You can say the comment Caleb said this morning.
Yeah, so even this morning, I was driving, Caleb has a hockey tournament, so I was dropping him off so he could get a ride. And he's like, you and mommy are talking this morning. What are you guys talking about? And I was like, oh, people are sharing their stories about what God has done in their life. And he's like, well, what story are you sharing? And I was like, well, how God provided the townhouse for us. And he was like, you mean the first townhouse or this townhouse? Because he's like, that first townhouse wasn't very good. And you know what, though? But then he followed up by saying, but I really like our new townhouse. In fact, it's my favorite home. And so just, it's amazing how the vision and the expectations that we have, God subverts those. He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
The community we're in right now is amazing. The first day we moved in, I didn't think so. there's someone that's just a little bit harder in there. But the amount of times this gentleman has come up to us and been like, I need you to know something. Your kids are such a blessing in here. They're going around to all the little kids and playing with them and being kind to them. And right there, I was like, first of all, thank you for acknowledging my children and telling a story to a parent, because every parent needs that. Because the world is hard for kids, and anytime we can get that, it builds us up. And right there, I was like, you're a good guy. You see these things happening. And it just made me feel at peace, and I felt safe. And compared to the first story, I said, that's what I needed. I needed to feel peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And even though, you know, I shared a little bit about my emotional side, right? But we talked together about our values and what we valued as a family and what was important to us, and most importantly, what were kingdom values. And we realized that we needed to make value-based decisions based on what we believe in the Bible and based on our relationship with each other, right? We weren't going to trade your health for money. We weren't going to trade, you know, us having to take on extra work or something, so our kids would never see us, right? Like, these were just things that weren't an option for us, because life is more than what you eat and drink and what you wear and what you put out on social media. And there's a beautiful, beautiful verse that has walked me the entire way through this process, and sometimes it's an annoying verse, but it's a great verse. It's 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Just we're cut for time, so go down to
this one here.
Oh, I'll share, and then you can share. Yeah. We had a little bit more, but we'll cut it out. The thing about our story to me, it's a constant reminder of God's faithfulness even when we don't see it. That sometimes it's only after two or three things fall in place do you have the hindsight to be able to see how God was there working through it. And the things that at the moment I called a curse were actually a blessing. And so I want to encourage you as you go through your story that sometimes it's not until you have walked through it and you're on the other side that you're able to be like, oh, that's where God did that. Oh, and God was there. Oh, and God was there. And actually, God was here when we made that decision. And so have faith.
This isn't a story we really want to share, just so you know, this whole thing. But during this, I remember telling Joe in like major sobbing Melanie moments, why does no one talk about this? Why does no one talk about how hard it is to live in BC? Why does no one speak freely of this? And through all of these decisions and quitting jobs and doing these unconventional things, I was like, I'm done. I am going to be the person that makes the hard decision so other people know they can do it. I don't care. And that's kind of how I live my life now. I will make the hard decisions if it means somebody else can do it too and know it's okay, because it is okay. Something that's always come to mind, thanks Donna, you have no idea what I'm doing right now, but thank you. In the book club that I run with some of the ladies here, I talked about how sometimes we don't see God's full picture, because we don't, we never will. And sometimes all we see is the mess, and we don't see how this here connects with this over here, and it's a jumble of a huge mess.
I did do children's ministry for a long time, so I'm doing the object lesson.
So I'm not a cross stitcher. I actually don't really craft very well at all. So this is what would happen to mine. So you know when you cross-stitch, the front is really beautiful and the back, unless you cover it, is a big knotted pile of this? I feel like a lot of the time, when we're going through those struggles, when we're like, God, I'm like really doing that hard-fought hallelujah right now, and this is all we see. And I feel like God, in the waiting, he's there whispering, he's like, I'm there. And Donna heard that story, and she made one for me. She didn't cover the back because she knew that was meaningful to me. But what if we slowed down a little bit, didn't look at the mess, and was like, God, I'm going to sit here for a moment. I just want to see what you have for me. And what if you turned it around, and instead of seeing the mess, you saw Jesus? He has us all connected. He has our stories all woven together for something beautiful. And we're not always going to see it. Maybe it's just going to start out like this. Maybe we add a little bit of this, then this. But he does have something beautiful for us. He really does. And it's going to take time. It's not going to start out necessarily like this where we see it. But God's beautiful. And he is this, so we might not see the full picture right away of our story, but we need to sit in knowing that this is who he is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm going to... Yeah, well, we'll invite the band to come on up. I think we just lost the worship leader. That's okay. He'll come back. We wanted to read, this song is very special to us, because this is a song of in the waiting. Well, we were waiting for a door to open for us, and we didn't know where at the time, but the door was Ladysmith. And so this is a song, first verse and chorus of Take Courage.
Slow down, take time, breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come. The thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, he'll reveal all to come. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
And so what we want to do for the next couple of weeks is we want to have a time for prayer at the end of the service. So I want to invite as the band gets ready and starts playing, I want to invite the prayer team to the front and the back like you typically would. And we're going to spend time praying for each other, praying for God to bring breakthrough in your life. Or maybe you need to come up here and stand with a friend and pray for breakthrough in their life. Maybe you need to come up and share a celebration of what God has done in your life that you're thankful for. But we've got some people at the back and front. My wife and I will be up here as well to pray with you. But would you stand? And I'll just say a prayer for us and we'll worship together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great gospel story woven throughout all of history. I thank you that we get to participate in it. We're not spectators. We don't just read about Daniel in the lion's den or Moses parting the waters or Esther's great faith going before the king. We don't just read those stories. We get to participate in the story of what you are doing in our lives. And so, God, I just want to pray a prayer over the people today who feel like they've lost hope or they're on the verge of losing hope. Would you strengthen their heart and their soul? Would community come alongside them and bless them, love them, and encourage them? In Jesus' name, amen.